Time to bring in our man, the one and only Bill Shanks, host of the Bill Shanks Show, 93.1 FM in Macon, 98.3 FM in Warner Robins. Bill, the hot stove is cranking up. The Braves have already made some moves, but not a whole lot. We'll get into that in a minute. How have things been with you, though, since the SEC Championship? Things calming down a little bit?
Yeah, pretty good. Not too bad. Just getting ready for Christmas, and hoping we'll see some more activity from the Bravos. But they're saying to be patient. It may take later into the off season, and that's been the theme for a lot of teams. They haven't had a whole lot of activity at the winter meetings out in Vegas. They must be playing the tables or slinging the slots here in the last couple of days.
And it's funny, we've talked already with you about the Braves moves, the Donaldson move, and bringing Brian McCann back. And other than that, you know, it seems that Alex Anthopoulos has come out and said he doesn't really like to do his business at the winter meetings. You know, he likes to do it either before or after because, you know, at the winter meetings, you know, prices might be inflated, things like that. And that's when kind of guys are expected to move. But when do you expect them to kind of crank things back up here and get the ball rolling on some possible acquisitions?
Well, they got the ball rolling now. It's just I think it's a little slow to go. As I said, it's not a whole lot of activity coming out of the winter meetings. There have been some winter meetings in the past where there will be upwards of 15 to 20 trades in a 4 or 5 day period, but not this one. It's been a very low-key, low-activity winter meetings as far as moves are concerned, but that doesn't mean they're not having discussions. And I think Alex's point was a lot of times it's not necessarily that the things are going to get done at the winter meetings, but discussions will at least start to take place, and they'll just kind of build the momentum for deals to be made later in the off season. Remember how slow it was last year. That could simply be the game plan again this year. I don't know why it's slow. The players union think it's collusion, but I think that it may be the same this year because there's just not been a whole lot of free agents that have signed yet, and maybe they're all waiting for the Bryce Harper, Manny Machado chips to fall first.
Yeah, it kind of seems like this could be one of those where, like you said, that the chips falling, that one domino might fall like a Bryce Harper, and then everybody else starts to make moves. The Machado, the Harpers, those kind of deals start to go down. But one thing the Phillies already did is sign Andrew McCutchen 3 years, $50 million. And look, Andrew McCutchen has been a fine player, certainly not worth that much money at this point in his career. But is this just a case of the Phillies saying, hey, we've got money, we got to spend it? Or do they actually feel like that they can kind of revitalize McCutchen a little bit?
He had a good year last year, Sam. He did very well between San Francisco and New York, and I think it was one of his best seasons in the last couple of years. So he was not back to his MVP numbers by any means. But I like McCutchen. I kind of wish Atlanta would have gotten in on that, but they're not interested. That's been, I think, one of the things the offseason so far, with the exception of what they did with Donaldson, they're not interested. Well, that was a short-term deal too, but they're not interested in long-term deals, and they didn't want to spend that kind of money on McCutchen. They had interest in him, but I don't think at that level. I don't think it's a bad deal for Philadelphia because they have stupid money to spend. They have said as much so far this winter. So, but the Braves have been very hesitant to want to offer long-term deals, and they are wanting short-term situations. It made me wonder whether Liberty Media may be ready to sell them because of that. But regardless, I think, you know, it's just been an interesting thing to find that they don't want long-term deals. And that's interesting to me. Not that a three-year deal is that long-term, but they didn't want that with McCutchen. They preferred a two-year deal with him. So we'll see what happens and if anybody kind of fits their market, or if after the new year the market kind of comes back to them and more people will be accepting one- or two-year deals compared to what they may have thought they were going to get going into the offseason.
Bill, someone that knows the ins and outs of the business of baseball like yourself, you mentioned the possibility that maybe Liberty Media is indeed looking to sell the Braves. Do you see that as a good thing? Would the Braves be better off with a sole proprietor like Arthur Blank or even a smaller group than Liberty Media? What are your thoughts on if that does come to a sell from Liberty?
Oh, I pray to God every day. That's in my prayers that at some point Liberty Media will get rid of this team and sell them all. So unfortunate that we are hands are tied with this ownership group, and Price may try to say otherwise, but I don't believe them, to be honest with you, and I don't believe a lot of things that are said, to be honest with you, about the financial situation over there. But regardless, I think just having something would be held accountable. If Ted Turner was the owner, or someone that you knew was going to take credit or blame for whatever was going on. And I think that accountability is lost when you have a corporate ownership structure like the one they have now. So I would much prefer a small firm over one.
Yeah, I think we just lost Bill there.
Bill, you're still with us?
No, I think that was one where we were doing the cell phone. He said he was on the move, so we thought that there it is. Yeah, we thought that might be a possibility. We'll try and get Bill back here in a second. That might torpedo a podcast of this interview, though, with it being cut off like that. But we'll try and get Bill back on because we do still have to ask him about Harold Baines getting into the Hall of Fame and how that worked out. And certainly interesting to see how everybody's kind of hovering right now and not, not really making those moves. I thought it was it's interesting that it does seem like everybody's kind of waiting for the dominoes to fall. And that first one, you know, will it be Harper? Will it be Machado? And for the Braves, I think it's just maybe not picking up the scraps, but making smart decisions here. All right, we got Bill back. And while I've got it fresh on the brain, Bill, I did want to ask you about Harold Baines making the Hall of Fame. Because I know that it's something that my normal co-host Dave is not a fan of, and I would assume that just because guys like Murphy, Fred McGriff aren't in, but a guy like Harold Baines, who doesn't really have the numbers, gets in. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I thought it was a joke, and it's a shame that people like Tony La Russa are making fools of themselves by trying to defend the decision. And I think part of the problem is, you know, if this is 20 years from now and we look back and other people had gotten in and there was an appreciation for Harold Baines' career, maybe that would be one thing. But you can't put him in over people that deserve it far more than he does. And Tony La Russa cussed out Chris Russo basically on television yesterday, which was ridiculous because Russo had just absolutely went nuts earlier in the week about it, and it's worth going nuts about. Harold Baines had a great career. The sad part about it is because of the fact that people want to say he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame is going to make it look like he didn't have a good career. He had a great career. I mean, he was 164 hits away from 3,000. He had a consistent, steady career. But he's not a Hall of Famer, not this close after being off the writer's ballot. He never got more than 6% of the votes. And I think he put his numbers next to Dale Murphy's. Fred McGriff, I know I sent David the information the other day because I know you were talking, you guys were talking about it, and I'm driving now, so I don't want to break the wall and break my neck. But, I mean, the numbers between Baines and, I mean, Baines has more hits. He played more years. He obviously, again, had a great career, but Murphy had two MVP awards. He did not play as long as Baines because of injury, and, you know, they put Kirby Puckett in, and he had to cut his career short because of injury. And I mean, I don't get it. I don't know why they would do something like that now. Why did it have to be now? Why push Harold Baines now? It's going to make people laugh at him, and I think it's going to create a lower standard for the Hall of Fame, which may get Murphy in, which is good because I'm not very objective about the situation. I think Dale Murphy belongs to the Hall of Fame. I can understand an argument for him not going into the Hall of Fame because I think, you know, there are people who have high expectations and standards of what they think, and somebody may say, I'm not going to put somebody in who hit 265 for their career. I understand that. It's a solid, relevant point. I think it's too many Peak Awards. I think the fact that he was one of the most talented and successful players in the 1980s, and I just think he belongs in there. And so I'm not, again, I'm not, there's no objectivity here, not that I'm ever objective at all or anything. But, I mean, I am because I tell the truth. But I just think that McGriff, I mean, Fred McGriff had 493 home runs, I believe. And I don't get it. It was politics. It was Jerry Reinsdorf. It was Tony La Russa. They were on that committee, and they pushed for it. And that should be a conflict of interest of them trying to put one of their players on, in the Hall of Fame. And I hate it because, again, he had a really good career. And I think if he was an old man, if he was 80 and looked back at those numbers, he, you know, in 20, 25, 30 years, he'd say, okay, you know what? Looking back, he had a really good career. But not now, not today, not with a lot of people who deserve to get in who can make just as good or better of an argument as his argument is.
Yeah, and Dave was talking about that with cronyism and things like that, and that seems to have been there. That seems to be something that is kind of infected baseball and a lot of different, you know, things that people vote on, whether it's All-Star games, whether it's Hall of Fame. And I know Hall of Fame that with the new era committee or whatever they call it, the Alexis guys in, like you mentioned there with La Russa and some others that were kind of in Harold Baines' corner. Is there any way to get rid of that? I mean, do you have to reform the process of how you elect guys to the Hall of Fame to get rid of that, you know, quote unquote cronyism?
You try to put some different people on there, I guess. I don't know if you put owners and managers and former players on there. I mean, they're gonna have their favorites. They're gonna have their preferences. They're gonna push for their people. And just like any hall, I mean, that happens to the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame, which I'm a part of and a member of the foundation. I mean, that happens every year for that Hall of Fame. So I don't know if there's any way to avoid that per se. I mean, the biggest thing is you'd like to be in there in that argument. By the way, I'm in Willacoochee, Georgia, and I'll be damned if you've ever had any guests from Willacoochee, Georgia on your radio show.
Yeah.
The no-name bar, I may stop at the no-name bar and have me a Bloody Mary after doing this second radio show. But anyway.
Never too early, Bill.
It's never too early for a Bloody
right.
Mary. No, I don't drink too many of those. Only one steak. No, I'm just kidding. The biggest thing is, I think, what were the people saying who didn't want Baines in there? And why did that argument not hold weight? And, you know, they probably said, look, this guy only got 6% of the vote from the writers. And evidently that didn't matter. And it's very peculiar, very weird, and it's a shame. But hopefully, again, the positive thing is Bill Murphy, I think his argument's even going to be even better. Well, you put Harold Baines in there, why not Dale Murphy? So I'm hoping that'll be the outcome for it.
Bill, switching gears a little bit for the last couple of minutes we have you here, a big topic of conversation today, and I guess it always is how to restructure, if it needs restructuring, the college football playoff. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked an earlier guest. Let's make Bill Shanks the czar of college football. You get to decide how the college football playoff is played, how many teams, and how those teams get there. How are you going to structure this thing to make it perfect for everybody?
I do an 18 playoff. I do 8, and I do the 5 conference champions and 3 wild cards, 3 at-large, whatever you want to call them. I think if the situation was in play this year, it's kind of a perfect example this year because, and you don't necessarily have to rank the conference champions 1 through 5 by any means. I think they can be ranked however they are, but I think this year would be perfect because you could have the 5 conference champions and then Georgia, Notre Dame, and UCF. And let's have UCF at number 8 playing Alabama and see what the heck they would do. So I don't think we need to go to 12 or 16. I just think that's reaching it too far. I like the conference championship games. I like what Sankey said yesterday about if we value our conference championship game. I see no reason to get rid of those. If a great team gets upset, if a Clemson gets upset by a Pittsburgh in that situation, then you know what? Pitt's in and Clemson's one of the 3 at-large teams. I think that's what you do. And if that knocks somebody else out, so be it. But no matter how many teams we have, it's going to always be an argument for the last team, just like it is for the basketball tournament in March. But I think 8's enough, And I think having the conference champions and three at-large teams and have the first round on campus, I think would be great. And I don't care about, you know, they can't do this because of academics. So they do it in another levels of football. They certainly do it in other levels of college football, and that's why it makes no sense for their argument. But I want to preserve the conference championship. I think they do matter, and I think we haven't seen the regular season diminish at all because of what's happened so far, and we wouldn't see it diminish. And why it hadn't happened already because of television, I don't know, because people will watch the heck out of these games. If there was a playoff system with eight teams, I think it would be tremendous on television. Plus, you know, and I think it was Leach who said, why are we giving up December? And so I think that's stupid. You know, let's not give up December. Let's have a two-week break after the conference championship games, come back with round one, come back with round two, and then have a championship. I think that's the thing to do.
All right, Bill, one more thing before we let you go. Is it time for the Falcons to clean house? I'm talking coach and GM.
Yeah, but they're not going to. I mean, they you know, he loves Dan Quinn. He loves Thomas Dimitroff. And I think what's going to happen is that they're going to finish out the season. I think they'll win one of these three games left. And they'll finish 5-11. And Dimitroff and Quinn will come back. And then Quinn will be on the hot seat next year. There's no way if he follows up a 4 or 5 win season, they're going to keep him. There's no way you can do that. They come backwards. And look, Dan Quinn, I'm not a fan of Dan Quinn. I think he peaked. I think he peaked on February 5th in the first half in Houston in 2017. And he's never going to get back there. I just don't see it. I think they're going backwards. I think the injuries are the biggest story of this season for this team, and it's unfortunate. But the lack of drive and the lack of fire and the – you know, and I'll never forget, Sam, the comment from Devondre Campbell after the Cleveland game where he said we weren't ready for the Cleveland Browns.
Horrible.
And that's coaching. You know, that's coaching, and that's on Dan Quinn. And I don't know how an owner can accept that, but you know, Arthur Blank is very personal with these coaches, and he was with Mike Smith, and he is with Dan Quinn, and he can't be because I think Quinn's. I think Dan Quinn would be a great college coach because I think he's a rah-rah. I mean, to me, Dan Quinn is a nice guy, and he's not a bad coach. I just don't think he's a good head coach. And I think, really, Dan Quinn, if Mary Poppins and Mr. Rogers had a child, it would be Dan Quinn. And I really don't want that kind of person as the head coach for my pro football team.
Bill Shanks, the one and only. Always a pleasure, Bill. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bill Shanks, host of the Bill Shanks Show, 93.1 FM Macon, 98.3 FM in Warner Robins.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.